Welcome to Mission Minded, the podcast where we explore outside-the-box thinking and carrying out Christ's Great Commission. Due to the coronavirus, we are connecting with people through video conference. My name is Jim Tingler, and I will be your host this week as we welcome fellow iTech team member James Massengill. Today, we're still not in the iTech studios. We're coming from our own homes, and today we have a special guest, Jim Massengill. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Jim. How are you?
Doing good. So Jim works with me at iTech, and one of the complications we run into, as you might have noticed, we're both named Jim.
Yeah, it's confusing sometimes.
So somehow, I think because I was maybe there first, they allowed me to keep Jim. And so Jim that we're talking to is James around iTech. So there was a little confusion one day. Somebody came up to me and said, "I heard you're the wizard." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" "Oh yeah, you're the wizard. You could fix anything." I was like, "Well, I didn't know that, but hey, I appreciate that. I didn't heard that nickname, but that's you're the wizard, James." So
what? Why do that's sometimes people use that, but I don't feel like the wizard.
Okay, well, why would somebody call you the wizard?
I tend to be a long-standing geek and nerd, and so things that seem out of the ordinary knowledge, sometimes I spout out something, somebody say, "Where did that come from?" And it's just, I may forget where I am each day, but I come up with trivia.
Yeah, if there's a difficult question or there's something that needs to be tinkered with, James is usually on it and can usually come up with a solution. So that's how he got the nickname, the wizard. But it's fun being around guys like James who are just really good at tinkering, like to explore things, work on different things. And James, your background is building X-ray machines.
It's medical imaging. I worked installing, repairing, and later ended up owning a company doing the same thing that worked in hospitals, doctor's offices, where we did X-ray film and equipment, and then later digital imaging. When it really started moving was like the early 80s, where, you know, personal computers had not really hit the stage, and I was working on some of the first vascular imaging, digital imaging equipment in hospitals. And so I liked computers and I liked medical electronics, and I was lucky enough to work in a career that wasn't just work. I enjoyed it as well.
And you've been at iTech now for how long?
Full-time for going on 5 years now, but we came down for 3 years before that on a temporary basis, you know, every few weeks.
Right. And you've been involved in some of our, obviously, some of the projects with engineering, but then you've also done some of the training trips, and more recently, specifically, training in solar panels.
Yeah, solar. You know, solar is becoming more viable as it gets less costly. And the thing is, you throw some solar panels and some batteries and an inverter into a community, and no one knows how to repair it. They really don't know how it works. They know they can charge their cell phones, and what happens is they end up either overloading part of the system or it's not maintained the way it needs to be. And so it ends up failing. And so that's an opportunity for someone with a little bit of training and a little bit of knowledge to help the community out. And it doesn't take a lot, but it takes someone to at least tell them and spread the word.
Right on. Yeah, so somebody listening might not know exactly what these training trips look like. So iTech goes on short-term trips, and over the course of about a week, we train in different areas. We've been training in dentistry and medical work, video production, basic mechanics and agriculture, but you know, depending on the need of a community, might look like something like solar panel training. Is electricity is a huge need in remote parts of the world, and coming up with a solution like solar panels might seem great, but long term there's complications.
Yeah, there's, I mean, any technical device, whether it's a computer that needs maintenance, you know, software maintenance things, a solar panel is in the elements, it's out in the weather. You've got the inverters and the batteries need maintenance, they're a chemical process. So there's a lot of things to be done to make sure it stays functional. There's a lot of technology that's been given away in many different countries, and it ends up in the trash heap of the village just because for the lack of a little bit of knowledge, things that we may grow up with because we grew up with the technology. You know, the everything we have as grown up in the United States has been, you know, electricity we've had in our homes. We've got televisions, we've got radios. Well, and batteries, we know a lot about that just from being around it a lot. And they haven't had that opportunity. So if we can give them a leg up by giving them some of this basic knowledge, then they can you know, go to their neighbor and repair something for them and actually make the whole village as a community more self-sufficient.
Right on. That's awesome. And so, yeah, I mean, you're trying to look at the problem, you know, a lot of third world countries or, you know, very remote places, you know, electricity is that problem and people trying to provide that, you know, solar panel as a solution. You know, you're trying to come back in around and trying to help it be more lasting, have more of a lasting impact, some of the work that they're doing.
Yeah, it's surprising how little it really takes to bring somebody along. Someone, you know, we have all different levels of students in the field, and you go in the first couple of days, you're figuring out, you know, what their capabilities are, what their schooling or exposure to this has been, and then suddenly everything falls in about Tuesday afternoon to Wednesday morning. And you hit a groove, and the students, they just lap up the knowledge as much as they can get. It's really inspiring.
Yeah. Well, if somebody wanted to learn more about that, they can visit our website, learn about the training. But just personally, I love being around iTech and people who are trying to use their passions and apply them to the work that is going on around them. And, you know, right now, there's some things that are going on in your community, in our country as a whole, and namely this coronavirus. And I know you've been kind of using those talents that you have and some of the tools that you have at your disposal to be able to meet some practical needs of the community. And so what sparked that? Maybe share a little bit about some of the things you're working on.
Well, a couple of years ago, as a cooperative project between some of the benefactors at iTech and the local clinic here, and that's has a nonprofit arm that does provides medical not training but medical need services, the medical needs of the poor here in our community. They called me and asked me to take a look at their x-ray machine, and I did. And then they a couple of days later, they called back and said, hey, you know, we're doing COVID-19 testing, and they're the only clinic in town that's doing the drive-through testing, and they needed personal protective equipment. They didn't have enough face masks and face shields, and so we started 3D printing face shields for them, and that helps their N95 mask you've heard so much about in the news. That helps protect the mask and let them use it longer so that the mask is covered by a overall face shield, and there's not enough of those. So we started assembling those with 3D printed parts, and then we found out the local law enforcement didn't have any face shields. So We printed up a bunch of those, and we're still printing them. Different as requests come in, more and more people find them out that we can do that. We've got a few 3D printers here at my home. We got iTex 3D printers, laser cutters, and things that we do use on our prototyping and developing teaching aids, and we're using that for the COVID-19 response.
Do you have any of those face shields handy right by you?
I wish I did. I let the last one go. We did. I do have the respirator we're kind of working on, but
okay.
So
we'll make sure and put an image up. What do you got there? The respirator?
Yeah. It's this is a 3D printed device that would go on the face with some other parts to assemble, but it would replace the or be a option if you don't have an N95 type mask.
Okay.
So
awesome. And just being in on a little bit of the conversations with you guys, just trying to process, okay, what do we do in this situation, and how do we maybe help out in our community? A video that sparked some of that was the Smarter Everyday video.
Right. That's we were making face masks or face shields, and from the National Institutes of Health website, and then we saw that Smarter Every Day was doing it in their area in Alabama, and they set up a really strong response with a lot of people involved. And they're in a much bigger town than iTech is, so it was pretty impressive. And it was, and that's happened all over the country and actually all over the world. There's over 1 million 3D printers in the United States in private hands, and they started, everybody started mobilizing to produce as much as they could, and do it properly with the right, you know, the right protocols in place. And it's been pretty inspiring.
So the right protocols, where would somebody go to, you know, maybe somebody's interested and they're one of the million that have a 3D printer. Where would somebody go to find that information?
Well, the best place to go initially would be to the NIH website, 3dprint.nih.gov. And then you can go there, but there's also on Facebook, there's a lot of local community efforts. So just look with your city name and COVID and face shields, 3D print, and you'll find it. They're really all over the place.
Awesome. Well, that's great, man. I appreciate the work that you're doing and kind of rallying the troops, and also just appreciate how you are trying to use the skills and talents that God's given you and apply it to different areas of work. And I know that there might be some other people that are trying to figure out what that looks like for them. Obviously, it wasn't a one-step move for you to be in the position you are now, where you have this background of working in X-ray, and different mechanical aspects of that, but now are working for a nonprofit. You're utilizing some of the other tools you have to help your community. So that didn't happen overnight. What led you down this path?
Well, I guess the main thing is I've always kind of wanted to serve and do to make things better where I could. And of course, working and raising a family and things, career. I ended up getting involved not only in church, but in a humanitarian effort. And I was a pilot for them and going different places around outside the country and inside the US. And, you know, I'd spent a number of years doing a lot of that where it was providing medical aid and things. And I just got to, you know, Lord started working on me and say, hey, you're treating the symptoms and not the problem. And that about the time I was, you know, getting around to that, and I actually talked to the founders of the organization, and said, you know, we got to do something. This is no end to this, you know, because these symptoms are ongoing because of the lifestyle choices. So we, you know, and that's when I started, iTech came on and the radar, and I started looking at that and saying, hey, you know, missions dilemma, the when helping hurts, all of these different things, the great omission. And it just spoke to my heart because I had seen it for many years where you can treat the symptoms until you get to the root cause, things will not get radically better. And that's when I said, well, I need to switch gears here. And I came to iTech.
So somebody that may be feeling different nudges and how they can get involved. You mentioned being involved in some different programs, you know, humanitarian work, and, you know, it's kind of led you to here. But what was that first nudge? Is it just something you've always wanted to be a part of, just local, you know, bigger than maybe some of the things in your local church, but kind of broadening that out?
Yeah, I mean, I was doing international work with the humanitarian group, and I could see, where there was a need. But if you don't, the formula is pretty specific. You got to have Christ in the formula. You can be the nicest person in the world and have the greatest good intentions, but the substance is not there until you have Christ in the formula. And then it works. And then the people's lives and their children's lives can be made better generationally because they now have this this heart of Christ if they, you know, make a commitment to Him. And that's where I saw that was missing in a lot of the humanitarian efforts. Because it does not get to the core of our human nature.
Yeah, it's got to be. You can meet a physical need, but the spiritual is a lot more important.
Absolutely, the spiritual is, and because once you reach the spiritual, then the physical follows along. It's important.
Awesome. Are we getting a guest?
No, that's Mike. He's checking on the 3D printer.
Okay. Well, hey, you know, I appreciate your time. Appreciate the work that you're doing. And, man, I thank you for being an example of just somebody who's trying to just live this out. I know it's going to look different in everybody's life. God's got a plan and purpose for each individual. But I think you hit the nail on the head. It's got to be Christ-centered. And... Go to him first. So
absolutely. Thanks for letting me talk, Jim.
Hey, thank you, Jim or James.
Right.
So, it's a challenge. It's just a challenge we run into. So
that's right.
All right. Well, thank you, and thank you for joining us for this episode of the Mission Minded Podcast. And we look forward to you joining us again.
Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of Mission Minded. For more information on today's topic and show notes, please visit our website, itechusa.org.